circus.
Circus. Like a roller rink.
It's the Half Hour Power, the best show post-show, 30 yeah. screened minutes of
all right.
rapid fire calls. Okay. Mike's in rare form.
I'm in rare, yeah, sorry.
What's up, Mike?
Not AP, a whole lot. Not a whole lot.
The one and only AP, Mike. Yeah. How's it going?
Happy to be here, as always.
It's always great to have you. Yeah. You know how I feel about you.
Don't.
Still, you manage to show
sometimes.
Up every week.
Sometimes.
For some reason, you keep showing
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah. Are you afraid of me? Is that what it comes
down
to?
No, not at all. Okay, I'm not right, afraid okay. of you okay. at all. Why would I be afraid
I
of you?
I don't know.
No, you don't scare me. You think that routine might work with others. Don't work with me. Not scared of you, Mike.
That's good.
Not anymore. To your left. Well, let's go with the regular team of all-stars. Then there's the one and only Jason Gore, a.k.a. Dudio.
A.k.a. Slaw Dog.
Hey, I wanted you to say it.
So
last week, we dissected the nickname Slaw Dog.
You guys were great.
We got to the slaw portion of it.
Yeah.
Now, dog is still...
Dog's still floating around.
Yeah. Do you think we'll get it?
I think it's... yeah, I think it's... I don't think it's as difficult as slaw.
Okay.
But it could be.
I think you already got it, Tom. Tom had a theory when you were out of the studio earlier.
Oh, really? Yeah. What was the theory?
Is it based on... Is it, like, based on the Snoop Dogg song? Slaw Doggy Dog.
No, unfortunately.
Okay. We have Pat Byrne here also. Pat, how are you?
Good. I'm trying to write the rest of those parody lyrics in my head right now to Slaw Dog.
Does you being from Virginia inform the dog part?
It could.
Okay, good. We have a couple guests on the Half Hour Power tonight. I want to leave that out there. People can wonder. We have from Florida, right?
Right.
We have Lisa Chandler, friend of the best show.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm great. Thank you.
Thank you for coming.
The dud in the room.
The dud? No. And then, next to you, is a friend of mine who's been, he's appeared in videos that I've directed. He's written on difficult people. And the credit I'm most excited about is he was the writer.
The only writer.
The only writer on Fuse Television's Insane Clown Posse Theater, ICP Theater. He worked hand in hand with Shaggy 2 Dope and Violent J.
Both of them, yeah. And Sugar Slam.
And Sugar Slam. Alex Skordalis, how are you?
Hi, thanks for having me here.
Oh, it's exciting.
Thrilled to be here.
Yeah, it's so great to have you here. So, this is how this works. We'll take some calls, and then we will talk about Slaw Dog, and we will talk about ICP Theater. That's the agenda for tonight's Half Hour of Power. Half Hour Power, you're on with AP Mike, Dudio, Pat Byrne, Lisa Chandler, and Alex Skordalis. Oh.
This is Jake from Philly, although I'm in Salt Lake City tonight.
You're where now?
Salt Lake City.
Salt Lake City? Why are you in Salt Lake City all the way from Philadelphia?
City from my birth.
I travel for work.
Okay. What's work?
I'm a safety engineer. I go around to different chemical plants and tell them how not to blow up.
Okay.
Are you out there at Kennecott?
I couldn't tell you my client, but that's not it.
Okay, it's Kennecott.
Love it. I love it. The show of everybody's, like, Columbo on this thing now. Trying to solve mysteries.
Well, actually, I'm a PI. I just didn't want to tell you that.
All right. So what's going on, buddy?
I wanted to ask you if you've ever seen the VHS version of How to Draw Comics the Marvel Way they put out in the 90s.
I have not.
Oh, hell yeah.
Jason is excited.
Yeah, that was great, man. I remember I got that, you got that VHS, and it came with an episode of X-Men and also
I got the Marvel 25th anniversary signed Stan Lee poster that I have in my studio. You've seen that, huh?
I have. Yeah. Yes.
I'm like rather jealous. I think the fun part is how excited Stan Lee is to have a camera pointed at him and how much John Byrne doesn't want to be there.
Yeah. And John Byrne pretty much hates everything, it feels like.
Yes, indeed. But I guess I'll take myself offline. That's all I want.
Have fun at Kennecott.
Best half-hour power, you're on.
Hello, it's Crocodile again. How are you?
What? Who?
From the board. The board is coming from the cold again, sir.
Okay, how are you? Crocodile, what is it?
Crocodile Dundee.
Crocodile Gingham, or Gennady the Crocodile.
Okay. Gingham.
You're here with AP Mike, Dudio, Pat Byrne, Lisa Chandler, and Alex Gordelis. What's up?
Good to hear from all of you. So, peeper talk. We've never done peeper talk. You need to do a show on peeping.
I do?
Yeah, you do. Because we were that and the mutant cruise. You got to do the mutant cruise as well.
The mutant cruise. That's not happening, that mutant cruise. Sorry.
Oh, come on, man. I could dress up like the captain from Captain to Tennille and the captain from Das Boot or some captain.
Yeah, you realize you're sliding me further away from doing it when you say things like that.
I don't know. It's just like some weird thing that we could do, and people would be involved, and you would get money for it, and, you know. Because, you know, like, I mean, the National Review used to do, I don't know if they still do it, because I stopped paying attention to those guys.
A National Review cruise?
Yeah.
Boy, what a thrill that must have been.
Yeah, when Buckley was alive, and then the Nation magazine did a cruise, and I think that
George F. Will playing shuffleboard, right?
Yeah.
George F. Will limboing.
Yeah, yeah.
Look, I don't know. It scares me. And sometimes people say when something scares them, you should go toward it. I think I'm going to trust when something scares me, I'm going to go away from it.
All right. Do you want me to tell you a story about Philadelphia?
Is it a good story?
I don't know. It's a weird story.
Is it a quick story?
Yeah, it's a quick story.
Let's hear it.
So I was working telemarketing at the Walnut Street Theater while I was going to a certain college that a certain black comedian who's now in a lot of trouble used to go to. Big T, red one.
Temple, Bill Cosby.
Yes.
What, are you worried he's going to come after you?
I don't know. I just like to not put it on the T. But anyway, so I'm coming back from my work. I have to get to the subway, 7th Street subway station. A friend and I are walking towards the subway entrance, and there's a bus stop. And these two guys are actually fist fighting, at the bus stop. And the weird thing is, and it's like the time I was dealing with Michael Moore, which I called you about before when I said the stupid thing and then did the Charlie Chaplin shrug.
That's right.
I just kept on walking towards it.
Towards the fight. You wanted what was going on in that fight.
I didn't want what was on that fight, but it was like I was afraid to walk in the street because I didn't want to get run over by one of these taxi cabs or somebody. So I just kept on walking forward and forward and forward. And finally, when I got up to the fight, I did the Bugs Bunny low bridge thing. I think I even said low bridge.
Okay.
And I just kept on walking through the fight and to the subway and then away.
How would you have felt if those two dudes united to beat you up because you were teasing them for fighting?
Made an obscure reference that they didn't understand.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think it was also there was a racial element to it.
Mm-hmm. Here's the thing about street fights. When two guys are fighting in the street, they're not really looking around. They're sort of concentrating on each other. So, yeah. You could have a marching band go by them, and it's not going to break up the fight.
That's true. I wasn't trying to stop. I just kept on going, and I wouldn't.
That's the best thing you could have done. Just keep going.
Yeah, I could have walked around them, but I just walked through it and ducked and just kept on going.
You were looking for a fight yourself.
No, I wasn't. Like, I was trying to get away, get off the Avenue of the Arts and go back to where I was.
How many fights have you been in, Crocodile?
Not enough.
Not enough? Not enough? Okay.
Not enough.
All right.
Not enough.
Well, thanks for the call. That was a good story.
Righto.
Mike fights. Last fight. Last full-on closed fist. I'm going to knock this dude's block off fight.
No, I mean, yeah, I'm not a fighter. I'm a lover, as I've mentioned many times on this show. But one time I was confronted. I was confronted by a, it was sort of the typical, a guy, a little guy who had to sort of prove his prowess. And he felt like he was going to take me on. This was in high school. And it started on the bus. And, he started, like, pushing me around on the bus as we were getting off. We both got off at the same stop. And then basically I got on, we both got off the bus. I slammed him to the ground. I said, "You had enough." And that was pretty much the end of the fight.
That was the end of your fighting career.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny that at that point, if somebody would have come up to you and said, "This is the last fight you'll ever be."
actually, it wasn't the last fight. It just occurred to me, and okay. I think I've told this tale before when we were sort of, it was a summer evening, we're having a bonfire at the Army Beach in Manasquan, which was illegal, and my friend was all wired out on I think he was into Black Beauties at the time.
Okay,
and I'm trying to cook some hot dogs. And he's coming around looking for the hot dogs, and he kept kicking sand on the hot dogs, and I was getting kind of ticked off, and basically I said, "Take it easy, Randy," and he kept coming up, and then basically, it was sort of another sort of thrilling moment where I flipped him, I flipped him, I never took any judo, karate, or anything as a kid, but I sort of just grabbed his arm and I flipped him
into the fire.
Into the water.
Into the water.
Flat on his back. I mean, it was a heroic moment, And so he went flat on his back in the water. Mm-hmm. And of course, he was enraged then,
Yeah.
And basically, then I ran away. I headed for the high grass.
So.
Because there was lots of high grass I could hide in. And then he's following me along the shore, just yelling, "Michael, I'm going to kill you!" And so as I'm in the high grass, I stumble upon a couple that are like on the ground, doing their thing. I'm like, "Sorry, I'm being pursued. I didn't mean to interrupt whatever you're doing here."
So, keeping with the Bugs Bunny thing, you didn't go like, "Hide me."
No.
You gotta hide me too.
No.
Remember when Bugs Bunny would get someone to hide in an oven? Remember? He was When you crossed Bugs Bunny, he'd do everything to you, right?
Yeah.
So you.
I hit out for.
What happened to the hot dogs?
Well, I basically was hiding for about a good hour or so until
he calmed down. Did he calm down?
I think he left. He left. Yeah. That's when I was flushed out.
Did you ever become friends with him again? Or
oh no, we're actually still somewhat friends.
So that just ran its course one bad night.
Yeah, one bad night. He had
sure.
He had issues.
Alex, last fight you were in?
Probably 7 years ago. Not that long ago.
7 years ago.
Wow.
That's
okay.
Not
yeah.
Good.
I was in the Lower East Side with my boss. I worked at HarperCollins Publishers.
Okay.
And my boss was an editor. And we went to get some drinks. And he did something inappropriate to somebody. And a bunch of guys just started punching him. Mm-hmm. And since he was my boss, I felt like I should say, "Hey, it was an accident. Leave him alone." And they turned on me. Mm. And
they turned on you.
I had to fight my way through it. And
how many guys are you talking about?
About four guys.
Wow.
And showed up to work the next day with a couple black guys. But that boss has since gotten me a lot of work. He was always very nice to me.
Because you fell on the sword.
Yeah.
A company man.
Company man.
I would have been like, "Yeah, you did the inappropriate thing. I'll see you at work tomorrow." If you're still alive, 9 a.m. I'll be there. Well, that's pretty epic. Full-on fists being thrown?
Full-on fists. Took some gut punches. Took one to the face. It wasn't fun.
Did you connect with them?
I did connect with them. I don't know if I did a lot of damage. They were much bigger guys.
But when you hit them, were you just like, yeah, I'm in this?
No, I was terrified.
Because you're not.
I'm like Mike. I'm a lover.
You're,
not
but
a fighter.
You're a big guy,
I'm a bigger guy, but I was outnumbered.
Mm-hmm.
And I just, out of the corner of my eye, I saw my boss stumbling around and... And a bunch of other people standing around not doing anything who were there also there with us. And
wow. Lisa, fights? Last time you were in a fight?
Well, I've never actually punched anyone. I don't know if I'd know how, but I did elbow someone on the train today, like really hard in his rib cage, and pretend it was an accident.
So that classic move of just like...
Like when the train lurched, I just threw it. Well, they were talking about... cocaine and hookers, and then the F word every other word, and then they started talking about some horrible thing on the internet where they, in their words, give old lady too much meds and then video them.
Oh, boy.
Isn't that just disgusting?
No, that's repellent.
So that's the closest I've...
Okay.
But it was today.
That's you're by far.
Wow.
I thought Alex was going to win this just by... By punching a dude in the Obama administration, like during, not in the administrative building, not in the cabinet. It's like you're fighting. Pat, fights?
I got punched in the face a couple different times. I don't know if it was a fight, though. I don't think I was a kid, and my sister's older friends, this was actually a girl that hit me when I was a kid, and... they were just viciously mean to me, and so I started harassing them back. And the one girl, I was like 7 years old, she punched me in the face, and I just remember saying, you know, so quickly at seven, I was like, oh yeah, that hurt. but then my nose was gushing blood. Oh, and then a guy punched, a homeless man, on the PATH train, punched me in the face another time, like shortly after I moved to Jersey City, because he didn't like the way I was leaning on the bench. And then, like, I it was like a sideswipe. I didn't even know he had hit me, and I like turned to him, and he was mumbling, scream mumbling to me. I told you to move. I told you to move. And I was just like, what? Like, it was just. And then, in high school, I was in a backyard wrestling group.
Wait, don't slide the mic over just yet. Backyard wrestling? You were a backyard wrestler?
We weren't a real backyard wrestling.
But you did
group.
A few.
It was like a parody of a backyard wrestling group. But there was a couple people that really wanted to take it seriously. Uh-huh. So that I was paired up in a match with this guy, David Ramirez, who had a total screw loose. And apologies if you're listening, David. Nice enough guy nowadays.
Total screw loose.
Son of a preacher, man. But, you know, like, and we actually, it was his backyard that we had it in. But he just really, like, when I wouldn't, like, I wouldn't give up, basically, in the fight.
Okay.
And that infuriated him. So I got pummeled. And then eventually people just called it off because I wouldn't give up. And I just kind of was doing it to, like, it was all I had. It was like, it was like, that's how I could have gotten
it. But you understand that wrestling, those guys never get actually hit once. And they give up because it's fake.
That's
but you were going into it not...
No.
Budging.
We were, like, the whole, it was called GWC.
Okay.
And the Gotch Wrestling Coalition.
Okay.
So, Gotch?
He was the first world champion. Frank Gotch was the first world champion.
Okay.
So, I was paired up with this guy. Most of us in the group were, like, it was fixed matches and we'd make it, like, fun and it was fake. I knew that. But this guy was on the mindset that, like, this should all be real. And so I was like, it was the worst situation.
You all need to get on the same page if you're doing a wrestling. Everybody needs to sign off on. We all agree what punching means in right. this league, but people were on different pages.
It was a weird, twisted thing. I still don't understand to this day, but that was the closest thing. I got into a real fight, other than getting punched in the face a couple times.
Sure. Dudio?
The last time I was in a fight, it was with a mugger in Amsterdam.
Really?
Yeah, he rode up to me. He was all in all denim, and he rode up to me on his bike and kind of shoved the bike between my legs.
Okay.
And he was like, "Give me your euro," and started grabbing at me.
Uh-huh.
And I was grabbing at his arms, just uh-huh. basically repeating, "No, no," over and over. Uh-huh. And then I remembered this trick my dad taught me. There's like a nerve down here that you can kind of pull down at the base of the... Yeah. Of the thumb, okay. and I reached down and grabbed him there real hard, he started screaming and rode his bike away.
Wow. Right. Awesome.
So,
that's great.
Yeah. You do on a bike?
Yes.
Yeah.
In Amsterdam. So.
Uh-huh. All denim.
All denim.
No chance this was Jay Leno.
No, it could have been.
Uh-huh. Can you talk about that?
Sure.
Is that all right?
No. It's totally fine.
Alex wrote for Funny or Die, because you also write for Funny or Die.
I do, yes.
You wrote a sketch that Jay Leno did, like a video.
I did, yeah.
That was basically everybody was pitching him ideas,
mm-hmm.
and then you dropped...
Denim car.
Two words.
A two-word pitch.
Denim car.
He was shooting everybody down in the circle. I was about the fifth person to pitch.
Yeah.
He was saying, no, that doesn't work. No. Yeah. And it came to me, and I was pretty nervous.
Yeah.
A little bit intimidated. Yeah. You know, the man who ran The Tonight Show for 3 decades. And I just said, denim car. And he said, that works.
And then, because on Funny or Die, there's a sketch, which is Jay Leno, it's him with his denim car.
Like, that's a great idea.
It's so funny and so weird because Jay Leno is in it.
Yeah.
And is so committed to it.
Oh, completely.
Like, he is selling it as hard as and as fair as a comedian would sell something. And it's so funny and weird that everybody has to watch it. I watched it over and over when I had seen it like a couple days early before
That's
it came
right,
out.
Yeah.
And I was like... This is either going to blow up or it won't be released. Like, something will happen and it will get, like, Jay Leno will pull this. But he's obviously in on it.
Yeah. He's definitely in on it. I think he understood what was going on.
Sure.
He definitely understood what was going on.
He's a funny, like, whatever people think of him in terms of being corny or whatever, it's like, the guy's been in comedy his entire life.
Mm-hmm.
He knows what jokes are, and I mean, look. When at one point I thought he was a really funny guy, like when he would be on Letterman, and those were amazing appearances, and his stand up was great. At one point, he knows it's really so ridiculous, and you have to see it.
He was fun throughout the day. He was a funny guy. I spent the whole day shooting it with him. Made me laugh throughout the day. I peppered him for a good Bill Cosby, Michael Jackson stories. Uh-huh. He had a million of them.
Wow.
The Michael Jackson story he told was pretty impressive. I had a feeling that he knew Michael Jackson. I don't know why I thought that Jay Leno at some point would have hung out. I just had this hunch. Like, I feel like he, in the 80s, spent time with Michael Jackson. I was asking him at lunch, like, did you ever know Michael Jackson? Uh-huh. He said, oh, yeah, I knew Michael Jackson. And I was like, what was that like? And he told the story about having dinner with Michael Jackson, and Michael Jackson had a guy with a turban standing behind him, a Sikh man with a handlebar mustache who would eat a spoonful of Michael Jackson's food before he ate it. It was a food tester.
Wow.
Just a, you know, a guy who was willing to die for Michael Jackson. That was Jay Leno's jackpot story.
That is.
Who was out to poison Michael Jackson, though? Except some fiendish phantoms in his own mind. Yeah. Right? I mean,
Rockwell.
He was a beloved figure.
What if Rockwell went after him? Remember Rockwell, Mike?
Yeah.
Remember?
Yeah.
Somebody's watching.
Yeah, maybe he creeped. He scared him. Yeah, maybe that video scared Michael Jackson.
Well, he sang backup on that,
and
remember?
Some sort of fantasy in his mind.
Rockwell was Berry Gordy's son, mm-hmm. right? I think. The idea that... Because he's talentless. It's like he's not even rapping on the thing. He's talking I'm just an average man with an average... Like, he's talking this thing. It's like a novelty record, and then suddenly... First of all, it's on Motown. Secondly, Michael Jackson is singing on it, who's at that point as huge as can be. What a... Man, some people, man, I tell you. The easy path, right? Dad, I want to put a record out.
Mm-hmm.
Fine. Can Michael Jackson sing on it? Fine. They made it happen.
Yeah.
When he turns around, he's got Michael Jackson singing on his record, and he gets all the money. Rockwell. So, we have talked about, there's two things to still talk about. One, I'd like to see if we can kick at this slaw dog thing a little more.
Okay.
Because we've established that slaw came from the movie Sloth, from some Virginia youth who were neighbors of yours.
Right.
Who started calling you slaw.
They wanted to call somebody slaw, and I came in basically at the wrong time.
Just the wrong time. You walked in, and they slapped a nickname
yes.
on you. Because they had just seen Goonies.
Yeah.
And it was funny when I looked on Twitter, people were saying, as I listened to this half hour of Power, I was screaming at... I was screaming out, it's Goonies. Why don't you people know Goonies?
And then where people were shocked that
in,
I thought
in
it
my
was
defense,
rated R.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, well, Goonies was a kid's movie.
Yeah,
look,
yeah.
I saw it, and I thought it was terrible,
because
that's not what I was looking for at that point in my life. I was not looking for Goonies.
John Solomon thought it was John Solomon thought it was Sling Blade the whole time.
Did anybody on Twitter think that was fixed? I thought you guys got that way too quick when I listened.
Really?
Did anybody make any accusations of it
no,
being fixed?
No,
no. You're the first.
I mean,
you're the first.
Tom guessed that it was a mispronunciation.
Uh-huh.
I don't know where that came from. I just when I heard that, I thought this
I was just
no,
like,
I don't know where that came from.
It was I can promise you. Yep. We could have even talked about it the week there a week went by before we did that show.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, "Hey, we'll see if we can figure it out on the show."
Yeah.
We did not mention a peep about it.
You wanted no details whatsoever.
Also, I don't know if anybody picked up on it. I don't know if I heard this right when I was listening, but Pat guessed Back to the Future, and I thought I heard AP Mike say, haven't seen it.
Yeah, I haven't seen it.
and nobody commented on that.
You haven't seen Back to the Future.
That's between the cracks there.
What about Back to the Future 3?
I thought I heard that.
Haven't seen any of them, but I was on The Ride, which I hear is not even existent anymore.
The Ride?
Yeah, The Ride in Universal Studios.
The video for The Ride, directed by... Peyton Reed.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
My friend Peyton Reed directed the Back to the Future video for The Ride.
It was a great ride.
Marty! Like him yelling without Michael J. Fox there, I think.
Yeah.
Just Christopher Lloyd screaming, we gotta get back! No Michael J. Fox anywhere near the production. So, do you know about the slaw dog thing, Lisa?
I do.
Do you know?
I was listening.
So,
call.
So let's see.
Mom call.
So dog,
yes,
is the so how we're trying to figure out how it went from slaw, which was sloth,
right? And I was slaw for about 6 months before dog was added to it.
Well, I'll start the question. We'll go round robin, a couple rounds.
Okay.
Did the dog part involve an actual dog?
No.
Okay. Mike?
Is it derived from the expression dogging it? As in, you know, somebody threw a frisbee to you and you didn't go for it very fast and they said you were dogging it?
No.
No.
Alex?
Does it have to do with a cartoon dog?
No.
Lisa?
As a child, did you crawl around on all fours and bark a lot?
Yes, but no.
No.
It doesn't factor
doesn't
into this.
Tie into this. Pat?
What year is this?
I'm going to say it's either 1991 or 1990. It's either summer of 1991 or summer of 1992.
Okay, because Goonies is 85.
Right. They had just rented it.
Okay. So, just to re-establish, you had the nickname Slaw for a few years.
For about 6 months, actually.
Before Dog got introduced.
Before Dog was, was introduced.
Okay, okay. Is it in reference to any, in reference to a song?
No.
Like?
Is it in reference to the wrestler Junkyard Dog?
Not that I'm aware of.
Is it in reference to, oh, not sure they're aware of.
Not that I'm aware of. Could be. I don't, but I'm not aware.
Is it in reference to sports or a mascot?
Sports were involved. See, now you see how fast this goes.
Yeah, it's
hard. When you get it, this wasn't planned.
Sports were involved. Like, from someone who went to University of Georgia? Bulldogs?
No.
No.
Okay, that's a good guess.
So I lived in Athens for a while, so that did...
Pat?
Did it happen after an event that you were at, like a birthday party, or was there some sort of happening?
Like an inciting incident.
Yes, thank you.
So it was an event, but it wasn't like a birthday party or anything like that.
Is it similar to what Mike was saying? Is it kind of like hot dog in it? Slaw dog in it?
No.
That's what I was thinking. I was just trying to play along the sports line.
Different meaning, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. No.
Is there a sexual connotation?
Oh, I hope not.
I hate Mike so much. Like, I just see that gun.
You gotta put it out there, right?
Look, this is the thing. You had to do it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be you.
Yeah, people are expecting it.
Exactly. You're just giving the people what they want at this point. You're just... People are going...
Keeping the brand alive.
Why isn't Mike making this filthy? Like, he didn't...
I held back for two rounds. For two rounds, I held back, right? Mike, give me some credit.
Two-round promise.
I'm with you on this.
All right.
I would have been disappointed if you didn't eventually get there.
The answer was no, though, right?
The answer was no. Yes.
Is it ripped off of another person's nickname?
As far as I know, no.
Does it have anything to do with hot dogs, like that you eat? Like a hot dog eating contest sport?
No.
I don't know.
Pat.
Is there something to do with actual dogs and sports, like racing dogs or something like that?
No.
All right, that was a good question. Were you on a team when this came down?
Yes.
Okay.
Was the name of your high school some dog-oriented name? Like the Bulldogs or the Mad Dogs? Or
No, we were the Bobcats.
Oh, the Bobcats, okay.
The Radford Bobcats. Okay.
I have a very funny story about Bobcats sometimes. I'm going to put it in my pocket for now.
Okay.
But, it's a good Bobcat story. We'll return to it sometime.
Okay. All right.
We'll remind you.
Did you earn the dog during a game?
Not during a game.
Did you steal the quarterback's girlfriend, and therefore you are a dog?
No.
Okay, bye.
Pat.
Oh, I am stumped.
You guys are getting close, though.
Really?
Yeah. You're in the area.
All right. It's 1991, and you're what, like... Well, that's a question. I'm going to pass. I don't know.
All right.
I just don't know anymore.
Is the sport baseball?
No.
Is the sport football?
Yes.
See, I knew if we hammered, I was
okay,
hoping.
Okay, here we go.
Was it in reference to a particular play that you did?
No.
Did somebody already ask about mascots?
Yeah. Alex.
And that was a no.
Yeah, Mike asked if something from Radford Bobcats.
Something you did after a game?
No. No. Okay. This wasn't game related.
Oh.
Was your name taken from a football player's nickname at the time?
No.
First of all, I just need to say, you're taking such glee in saying no.
It's like, no. Is he going to win? It's like he's going to win some money at the end of this thing.
The pause is driving me up the wall.
Three more questions.
Because you're just like, you slide the thing over, and then you just go, no. So excited.
Give it suspense.
I appreciate the suspense. So the final round, final loop around. So we've established it's football.
It is football.
And we've established that it is not an actual on-field play. That has been established.
Correct.
But it is. We've established that it is... Have we established that it's during a game?
I asked if it's not during a game.
It's not during a game.
No.
Okay, because there's a difference between not during a game and not during a play. I was wondering if there was a difference. Mm-hmm. Were you a good football player?
No. I was terrible.
Okay.
That was awful.
Did you ever drop a pass and say, doggone it?
No.
I'm stumped. I don't know.
Man, I'm really stumped, too. This is so off base. Does that have anything to do with like the Cleveland Browns dog pound?
I don't think so.
No.
See, I'm hot on this. I feel like I could pound away and I could get you there. But I got to play by the rules on this.
Can I give Tom my question?
You can.
I would like to
thank you.
Okay. Give the floor to Tom, please.
So you were not a good football player.
Terrible football player.
And it happened because of your association with football.
Yes.
Did the nickname come about because of your lack of football prowess?
Potentially. But I don't know if it was directly related.
Okay. Can I ask one more?
Yeah, go for it.
Did the people who gave you the nickname Slaw, did they also give you add the dog?
No.
Okay. All right.
This was a different person.
Yes.
So you were, people were calling you Slaw.
Yes.
And then
the whole team was calling me Slaw.
Then they added a dog. Okay.
Then somebody added a dog.
Were you proud of the nickname? Were you proud of the addition of dog?
Was I? Not really. But as soon as it was said, it just caught on like fire, and everyone was saying it.
Did it make it worse?
Yes. Yeah. Probably.
So going from Slaw to Slaw Dog was a worse development.
I mean, they're both two really just terrible areas.
Sure. No, I'm...
Yeah.
And I'm not saying any of this in terms of any sort of, like... I'm not putting any judgment on.
No,
this.
No, I know that.
To the bottom of
yeah, no, I completely know that.
So,
did they compare you to a rabid dog?
No,
no.
Lisa,
you said you were a really bad player, right?
I was terrible.
Did they make you go fetch things from the locker room all the time?
No, okay. They didn't.
That was
good though.
I mean, I'm happy for you, but
yeah, no.
Yeah, 4 hours of power.
Did it come out of a wedgie incident?
No.
No, okay.
Did it come out of an incident?
No, nothing terrible. Nothing like a wedgie or anything.
Sure. So it wasn't like a humiliating, bullying incident that it came out of?
Well, the team was saying slaw a lot.
Okay, and that was like a loaded thing.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Were you not friends with the person who came up with dog?
No.
Okay.
It's not a friend.
Okay. So it was like not a nice thing.
No, it was a nice thing, but we're not friends.
Sure. Okay, but it wasn't like a straight up, like mean guy and guy who was mean to you in school.
No, not at all. Not at all.
Somebody already asked about being on all fours. It wasn't like a four-point stance.
No, no. I was terrible at the four-point stance, though.
Oh, I think we got to pull the plug on this
game.
Do we get a hint? No, this could play out for months. I'm fine with that. Now, Alex, yes. I alluded to it. You worked on Insane Clown Posse Theater, the Insane Clown Posse, ICP Theater, I'm sorry.
It's the second and final season.
The second and final season, which was their kind of mystery science theater type show of them commenting on
current music videos that Fuse would play.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you were writing for that show.
Mm-hmm. I was the only writer on that show.
The only writer. What kind of packet? What does a packet look like when
they needed a human to work on that show. So and season one, Insane Clown Posse did not want to have any writers. They're like, we can do this on our own. We can improvise. Uh-huh. And Fuse said in season one that about 98% of what they said was unusable.
Yeah.
And so Fuse said, if you're going to have a season two, you need at least one writer to pitch you guys jokes.
Okay.
And that person was me.
So what is the joke you're proudest of that the Insane Clown Posse used on
I don't there? Even... I mean, it really is something that I've completely blacked out. Sure. I worked for...
I understand that.
6 weeks on it. the one thing... I don't even remember what they were. Sugar Slam would stand in the projection booth and introduce the videos, and I would usually write a joke
and
for her.
And Sugar Slam is...
Violent J's wife.
Violent J's wife, who often narrates the...
The gathering infomercial.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes.
But yeah, I worked on it for 6 weeks. There were 10 episodes. Each episode had a different guest, celebrity guest. So I'd segment produce that. I'd write the interview questions for whoever the guest was.
Like, what were the guests? Who were some of the guests?
They had the late Odorous of Guar.
Sure.
Coco, Ice-T's wife.
Mm-hmm.
They had Judah Friedlander.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, A-listers. Right? All the A-listers.
Screech. Screech was definitely on the show. Dustin Diamond was there. Okay. And Andrew
Russell
W.K.
Andrew W.K. was on.
Okay. Trying to remember who else was on. That's pretty much, those are the big names. Everybody else was, a smaller comic.
Sure. So, and you were writing the questions for the segments.
Mm-hmm.
And then helping them with their wisecracks also?
Yeah, as they were watching, they shot in a movie theater in Williamsburg, and I would sit underneath the camera and sort of pitch jokes to them, which was tough.
So you're just like going, hey, what about blah 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 blah?
Yeah, the whole time.
And it seems like they weren't receptive at first to a writer. How were they ever receptive to you?
They were into it at first, then halfway through the season they really cooled on it.
On you?
On having jokes pitched to them. It sort of went in waves. They sometimes they weren't having jokes pitched to them, sometimes they weren't.
Okay.
Awesome. Was there ever a situation when you were pitching jokes to them that they were like, that's not funny?
Oh, yes. For sure. Oh, definitely.
And how did it feel like when a guy in clown makeup was telling you what was funny and what wasn't funny.
Humiliating. You know, here I come from Maud Night at the UCB Theater, and I think that I think I'm some big hot shot.
Yeah.
And I roll in here and get shut down by these two clowns. That was the walking around set. I would always refer to them as the clowns. We need the clowns on set. The clowns got to walk in, and their manager is Violent J's brother, Rob Psychopathic. Mm-hmm. And he pulled me aside one day and was like, "Hey, man, stop calling them the clowns. Call them the posse right now, now on forward." So I had to start calling them the posse. Mm-hmm. He used much stronger language with me, but told me, "Stop calling them the clowns. Refer to them as the posse."
Are you serious?
Oh yeah. And he was a scary guy, Rob Psychopath.
I would have said, "Can I refer to him as the insane?"
They were in the end nice, and I'm very grateful for that job, and I had a lot of fun doing it. But it had its moments that were scary.
Now, Mike.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be an episode of the Half Hour Power if you didn't give us a little insight or observation from something that you've taken note of.
I wasn't prepared really for tonight, but I did see a commercial. I know you and I are big fans of the OIC commercials that are very popular now on television.
Which commercials?
OIC.
What is that now?
Opioid-induced constipation.
Yes.
Yeah. Have you seen the new one?
The last one, the one I've talked about, the animated one.
Yeah.
Maybe I've seen it. I'm not remembering. What?
Well, now they've got a live action commercial about it, and there's a scene where a guy comes out of a restroom.
Okay.
He's so proud of himself of what he just did in there that he sort of sticks his thumbs in his pants, and he sort of jiggles to the crowd of people he's with at a table, his friends. He comes out, jiggles his pants, has a smile, a big smile on his face. Everything went smooth sailing in there. And then in the background, you see a poor guy who's got OIC. And he's at the bar with his head down. Mm-hmm. You know, and it's just sort of contrasting, you know, what can go on. And, I mean, I couldn't believe my eyes when I saw it. I mean, you have to see this commercial to believe it. I'm just thinking of, like, how did they instruct this actor, you know, like, come out of the bathroom and just, like, be happy, you know, that you had a good bowel movement. Mm-hmm. And that's how he did it. He sort of stuck his thumbs in his pants, jiggled his pants.
It's probably one take.
And you just get the impression, yeah, everything was smooth sailing in there. You'll have to look for it, Tom.
I will look for that. Sad thing is, I actually will look for that commercial.
I don't know if it's on YouTube yet. I'll try and get you a link.
All right, thanks. I appreciate that. So in terms of plugs, Mike, Sundays at Masses.
Sundays at Masses, yeah. I had my first Canadian visitors on Easter Sunday of all days, which was a pretty, you know, we had a good crowd in there. And they didn't announce themselves, even though I kind of knew that they were fans. But I had a lot of unusual people in there, some new faces. So I kind of let them just sort of blend in for a while.
Sure.
Soak up the atmosphere.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But then they announced themselves, and one of the guys, Edward, was from Toronto. And then he just started in with the Rob Ford stories, and then he was an instant hit with all the regulars, and
they
wanted to hear more.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
So this Sunday, you'll be tending bar at Masses. People can swing by and see you on the early side of the day.
Yeah, but afternoon's fine.
Okay. Alex Skordelis.
Yes. Plugs
on Twitter at
Alex Skordelis,
spelled like it sounds.
Yep. And difficult people. On Hulu.
That's right.
Julie Klausner and Billy Eichner. That's on Hulu in July, and Dudio is on this season.
We have a good connection. I wrote on it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You wrote on it.
Yes.
Dudio acted on it.
Yeah.
Kristen
acted on it, too.
Kristen Bartlett acted on it.
Yeah.
A lot of great connections.
Mary Houlihan acted
on it. That's right.
Yeah.
Were you there when she did her scene?
I was.
Was it really funny?
Incredibly funny.
Because Julie said it was so...
It's
But they couldn't stop laughing.
The crew was all laughing, which is awesome. You know, that's a fun when that happens.
It's a good cast.
Really great cast, a lot of fun. That's July. Billy on the Street, True TV, October. And I want to plug, I wrote a piece on Mike Watt of Minutemen and Firehose for The Believer.
Oh, nice.
Come out in their music issue very soon.
In the print issue.
In the print issue,
yes. That's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you.
Lisa Chandler.
Yes.
On Twitter at
LisaChandler101.
LisaChandler101.
Because get it, it's the basic version of me. Okay. Like Psych 101.
Stay toward the mic. Got it.
Sorry.
Stay. If you look at Dudio, people can't hear you.
Okay.
LisaChandler101.
Yes. That's it.
That's it.
Oh, and if anybody needs me to design a bat mitzvah invitation, hit me up.
See?
There you go.
There you go. There's a
plug. Or baby shower, wedding, any of that.
Okay.
See? You were afraid of the mic before. Now
you're plugging away like a pro.
And I got to do a hi, Mom. Hi, Mom.
Okay, of course. Hi to your mom, who's a very nice
woman. She loves
woman.
You and she loves the show.
And what does she call Gary the Squirrel?
Sammy the Squirrel.
Sammy the Squirrel. Pat Byrne?
I got one last studio question.
Oh. What if this puts it away? What if this puts it
I
away?
I thought of a really good thing that nobody right. said yet.
All right.
Well, now it's not going to be that good.
Now, what is it?
Did you get tackled and then everybody called you Slaw Dog for some reason?
No.
That sucked.
That's good to know. Wait, so not a dog pile? There's
yeah,
no dog
just, yeah,
pile?
Yeah, I was just going to say, dog
if
pile,
people
yeah.
could have
no.
seen...
That's a good question.
Yeah,
if people could have seen Jason's eyebrows go
yeah,
up.
Yeah, we needed video of
he
that.
He acted like
yeah.
he had been busted. Uh-huh. Like Pat just...
Oh, I smelled it a mile
yeah,
away.
Like Pat... Oh, no, I saw it coming, too. But I still, there's a part of me that's just like, hey, maybe Pat made some inroads here.
No. I got nothing else.
No. So, anything? What's going on? You did a live Prove It All Night last week. Next one's like a few weeks away.
April 23rd. Yeah.
Okay, and people can always hear you on WFMU Saturday nights, 9 to midnight. Prove It All Night.
Thank you.
WFMU.org.
And the Million Dollar Man.
That's right, he did. Pat's second show put WFMU over the $1 million mark. Very
Woo!
Exciting.
Nice.
Yeah.
Jason Gore.
Yeah.
At Sonic Dork.
At Sonic Dork on Twitter. Show's coming up. My UCB Mod Night team, Monaco, has a show on the 9th at UCB Chelsea. You can go to UCBtheater.com for more on that. And then Bridge and Tunnel has a show at the People's Improv Theater on, I believe, the 14th.
Okay.
I'm not tired. Joe Firestone's with us.
Oh, wow.
Tonight,
that's
so
good. That's going to
be
awesome.
A fun show. You can find out more at bridgeandtunnelnyc.com.
Okay, great. Yeah. Well, thank you for everybody for coming, and thank you, Lisa Chandler and Alex Gordelis, for hanging out. And we will be back in a couple of weeks. Thanks for listening, and bye. Everybody can say bye.
Bye.